All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Just ask your blessing upon us this morning, Father. We thank you for your goodness and all that you do for us. Fill us with your spirit and give us wisdom as we open your word. Help us to see you, your kingdom, Father, and pursue that, Father. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I wish to extend greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. May His grace and peace be upon you as you strive to follow Him. Let's open our Bible to the third letter of John. Begin in verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. And they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. What I want to talk about this morning is concerning verse 2. It says, Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Remember a long time ago, whenever I first began following the Lord, a man pulled me aside and he read this verse to me, and he read two or three other verses, and he tried to tell me that, see, here is proof that what God wants is just to bless us and to prosper us, and that our life should be all about really being prosperous. And it's part of the gospel, the name it and claim it type of gospel, that all God wants to do is just bless us and just make everything good for us. And he used this verse to try to back up what he was saying. And I've thought about this often, and just generally in following the Lord. And I've noticed and I've watched throughout life people who that are trying to follow the Bible and follow the teachings. And I've discovered, or I've not discovered, I've just noticed that if a person, in the Old Testament, it talks about how God will prosper the people. And what God has done is He's created this world. And it is His world. And He's put things in such an order that if we do things in a orderly manner, or in a godly manner, in a goodly manner, that's in line with what He's done, that the net result of that is prosperity. And we've seen that over and over again, and I've just thought about, you look in the world and you see people striving to get ahead. People, just everybody looking out for their own interests, just trying to gain and just doing things for themselves and just trying to please themselves, just trying to find happiness, just trying to find health, trying to find prosperity, trying to find all these things. And you look out in the world, all over the world, and that's just not what you see. You just see bondage, you just see despair, you see people winding up getting in trouble, being in prison. You see all this. You look out into the world and you see the misery of people just trying to do something for themselves, just trying to take care of themselves, putting themselves first. And the result of that, it always brings devastation. Someone might get ahead in this world, but then you look at their children, and their children are just ruined. Very seldom do you see someone that's very prosperous where their children just take on and go on after them. They usually just wind up being spoiled and just bring destruction upon themselves. You look at the world and you see the misery and the pain and the suffering and all the things that are going on. And then you look at people in the church. You know, we just think of people being poor and miserable. And it's the people that are just trying to do it themselves, trying to make themselves happy, that wind up poor and miserable. And then you look at people in the church and people who are just trying to put into practice the general principles of working hard and being diligent and being faithful, and they just prosper. And that's what the remedy, that's what the Bible tells us all over in the Old Testament about how if you'll just keep my laws, I'll prosper you. It's God's laws of nature just being lived out. And we see that in the Old Testament where when the people of Israel were, everyone was taking care of their own business and they were helping and they were being merciful and they were caring for others and doing all these things. The whole area prospered whenever they were just had the liberty to take care of things themselves. And it's a little confusing sometimes whenever you see that even today, when you put those principles into place in your life, how people prosper. And then you read in the New Testament, and Jesus talks about his kingdom, and he talks about the people in the New Testament taking up their cross and following the Lord and not worrying about tomorrow, not trying to lay up things that are going to of your prosperity, just trying to gain and gain and gain. And you see the people that are putting into practice a form of godliness, and it just seems to just fall in. It just comes natural to people to become prosperous. Just putting in. You live in this world, in this country. If you're diligent and you work hard, you're just going to be prosperous. And that's just all there is to it. You just be faithful and just diligent and just try to be kind. Whenever you run a business, if you look out for the customer instead of yourself, the customers will overrun you with business because they're looking for someone they can trust and be faithful and just be diligent to can be concerned about them. And people just flock to that. And there's just a prosperity that comes. And that's the prosperity that the Bible talks about in the Old Testament that was promised to the children of Israel. And now we live in a time where that is here by people practicing the very same things. And we can still put all that into practice. And it just comes. And then we wonder about it. Well, why am I so prosperous? Or we think, oh, we're, you know, how can we be Christians? Jesus said, blessed be the poor. And we just are being diligent and faithful. And we've just got all these blessings, all these things around us that just helpful to us. And we kind of concern, well, what's the problem here? There's poor people out here, and they have brought it on themselves by seeking their own interest, their own pleasures, and their own trying to make themselves comfortable, and have just brought misery upon themselves. And here, the people that are trying to help other people and follow the Lord, there's just blessings all over. And we think, well, how does this fit? And that's where, if we'll turn now to Mark chapter 8. And then we'll just begin in verse 27. It says, Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he questioned his disciples, saying to them, who do people say that I am? They told him, saying, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others one of the prophets. And he continued by questioning them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. And he warned them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. And he summoned the crowd and his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? The point I'm trying to bring out here is here Peter had acknowledged that he was the Christ. And then Jesus told him, but you don't tell anybody about this. And in one place he said, you didn't learn this yourself. It was revealed to you. And then he explained to him that the Son of Man is going to die. He's going to suffer many things, and then he's going to die. And whenever Peter had told him that he was the Christ, in Peter's mind, the Christ was going to make them prosperous. The Christ was going to restore Israel back to its glory days of prosperity because the Christ was now here. And Jesus and Peter said, he began to rebuke him. You know, you can't die. This can't happen to you. That's not the way to prosperity. That's not the way to prosperity for us. You can't, if you die, that's not going to be prosperous to us. And so Jesus rebuked Peter and said, you're thinking about man's interests and not God's. In other words, what Peter was thinking about, Peter was trying to figure out a way to be prosperous. His goal was prosperity at this point. And Jesus told him, that's not the goal. That's man's interest, seeking after what I can get out of this. The result of doing things God's way is prosperous. But whenever your goal is prosperity, or your goal is a selfish interest, you're seeking after man's interest, not God's. to lose yourself and seek after what God wants and do things God's way will result in prosperity. It just will come. But to lose it, to lose yourself for His sake, that's where you gain. The problem is oftentimes we're looking at things for a selfish interest. We do things seeing what I can get after it. And that's when what I can get out of it. And that's what Jesus was telling Satan Peter when he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You're thinking about man's interest and not God's." Trying to create prosperity, health, anything along those lines for their own sake is seeking after man's interest. But when you pursue God's interest, those things will come. And that's what we see. We see that happening. What we do with that is now the test. Whenever we see people trying to pursue their own interest, we know they're the world. And we see the fruit of the world. It's misery, poverty, and not prosperity. But when people follow the Lord and do things His way, there is a prosperity that comes by doing that. And right here's where the danger is. Because we're doing things God's way and we're prospering, we get comfortable in that prosperity. And we get thinking that everything's okay, that God is blessing me. And so we begin to think, well, I'm being blessed. And so that's what he's warning us about, are the dangers of this prosperity. Don't trust in that. Don't trust in that prosperity. That's the time we're living in. We don't have to worry about the world and what the world's doing. We're doing things godly. And doing things godly has this appearance. It just produces blessings. And it produces good things. That's why whenever Jesus came teaching to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, to turn the other cheek, to give things away, is the test to see whether we're going to trust in the prosperity that He's given. Are we willing to lay down this prosperity that's just came as a result of just doing what's right? Are we willing to keep it in its proper place? Or are we going to let it consume us? When we do things that are right, we'll prosper. But there's a two-edged danger there. That prosperity, and that's what Jesus is warning about, we want to get a hold of it. We want to keep it. We like the prosperity. And we begin to love the prosperity instead of loving God again. That's why he says, if someone takes something away from you, give them something else. That's the examples he's given of the evidence that we're going to do it God's way. Even though it's blessing us, we're not going to trust in the blessing anyway. That's not what we're trusting in. We're going to go ahead past trusting in the blessing. We've already proven that the blessing works. And now we're going to give the blessing away. That's what the kingdom of God is about. Is being able to take not only the prosperity that was a blessing, but be willing to give the blessing away on top of that. And there's where the kingdom of God is. Have something, give it away. Have don't trust in your prosperity. If someone wants to take it away from you, let them have it. Give them something else so that we don't get caught up and tangled up, not in the world, but in the prosperity, the blessings that the prosperity has brought us. That's the second trap on the journey, the next trap on the journey for most people. And many, many, many people get trapped in that. You know, when we think about Jesus talking about people not to lay up treasures and people not to seek after wealth in this world and to pursue those things, we think of somebody out there just making a pile of money. But He's talking to us. He's talking to the church. We know where they're at. We know where their greed's going to take people. We see that and the people fighting over it and just... But He's given the warning to the people who are actually prosperous because they're doing things God's way. And saying, don't trust in that. Don't be looking and keep that you want to keep the blessings. Keep on the path of losing yourself, denying yourself, thinking of others ahead of yourself. We live in a world where people, that's all they think about is their self. Our tendency is to look out for ourselves. But Jesus is calling us to something much higher than that. To be interested in His interest and not ours. And He says, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. They take these verses like this one that talks about prosperity. I would that you would all be prosperous and in health. That's not a promise to cling on, that God just wants to make me prosperous and healthy. That's not what His interest is. His interest is that if you're walking in truth and walking in light, the natural tendency of that is to be prosperous. And the world will hate it. That's where the cross comes in. The world will hate it that you go through life and you can be happy and prosperous. And they don't like it. They get jealous and they get envious. They'll hate you for it. And we choose to do things God's way and just bear the cross that comes upon us because we're doing what's right. That we can just lay down these things. And people don't understand it. That we don't have to fight for these things and have to try to hang on to everything. They just don't understand that. And it just doesn't make any sense to them. Because it's man's interest and not God's. Whenever you do things God's way, just in a natural way, and try to do things the way He wants, the natural result of that is a prosperity. But that's what... And we can take that prosperity and even give that away. Because we're not trusting in that prosperity. Whenever we do things God's way, like just take a garden for example. Whenever you plant a garden, the Bible says by the sweat of their face, they'll eat their bread. You go out, you work. You plant your garden, you pull weeds. You pick up rocks. You hoe it. You keep the soil prepared. You do it all. And it's a lot of work. But it's prosperity. It's prosperous. Just an example, the world way, you go spray a bunch of chemicals on it so you don't have to do any work. Then you wind up eating all these chemicals and wonder why you have health problems. But it's a false thing from the very beginning. But whenever you do things the way God wants you to, you're out working, you're sweating, that you eat healthy things, it produces a healthy environment. It just prospers because that's the way it's supposed to be. You start trying to create something other than the way God wants it, and it may appear prosperous for a little bit, but it's contaminated. It causes problems later on. That's just an example. Whenever there's real whenever we're in line with God, things work. And they will result in prosperity. But keep your focus on just pleasing God. Those things will take care of themselves. That's what Jesus is talking about. Don't worry about tomorrow. If we do things the way God wants them to do, all these things will take care of themselves. But we get worried and we get anxious, so we got to fix it and we got to do it another way. The boys talked about, a couple of them, about how people plan and scheme and try to figure all things out, and it just ends in misery. But then it talks about the man that focuses on mercy and kindness, and those things will cause prosperity to us. But we go about it all backwards. But it appears for a little while sometimes to be prosperous. To have the blessings that God has given us. I'm just talking to an older man this morning, and he just said that he talked about someone that was pretty old, and he's generally been not real happy, but this morning he was talking about just being happy. And I just got to thinking about it. You know, that's one thing we can just choose to be. And that's one thing that we can be blessed and have a blessed. There's prosperity in just choosing to be happy. And to have a good nature. And we can take the wrongs and take the things that come against us and still have a good attitude about it. And what a blessing that is. Anyway, just a few thoughts here on that. The idea that if we do things God's way, it will prosper. And that's all through the Old Testament. That's what he teaches. And then you get to the New Testament, and he's saying, okay, now you've done things God's way, now lay down the prosperity. That's the kingdom of God. We've done it. And we think we've accomplished something because we've done it. And then he says, now that you've done things God's way, now that it's proven, the prosperity has proven, now Jesus comes along and says, okay, you've got it. Now lay it aside. Lay it down. Follow me. That's not a one-time fix. And the teaching, prosperity, you still live that way, you're still going to be prosperous, whatever you do. Whatever you do. That's what he was talking about. Prosperity and in your health and in your attitude. You do things God's way and it will produce. But what's produced, you give it away. You lay it down. That's what Jesus is talking about. Lay it down. Take up and bear your cross. You know, everybody would love to be prosperous. Poor people would love to be prosperous. So Jesus wasn't saying them, telling them to lay those things down. He was talking to people that because they followed this, don't let it get a hold of you. Lay it down. You see the steps to this. People think that because they're godly and they become prosperous, they want to rest there. They want to trust in those things. They want to hang on to that because it was prosperous. Jesus comes along and says, okay, now give me that. Let me have it. And sometimes he comes and has evil people try to take it away from us. Sometimes he offers opportunities to help someone. It doesn't mean you just have to walk around in a barrel without anything, penniless, because the very living this way is going to produce more prosperity later on. It's just going to keep on going because you're living godly. It doesn't mean quit living godly. It doesn't mean quit working. I don't know how many times when I've told people that Jesus called me to sell everything and follow Him, and I just sold out everything and began following Him. So, how do you make a living? Well, He didn't say quit working. He didn't say sit around on a mountain and look up and wait for Him to come back. The Bible teaches to go out and work with your hands. And not having a lot of things and just going out and working with your hands, you're still going to be prosperous. You're still going to have stuff coming in. You're still going to have it. Because you're doing things the way God wants you to. Living godly is a prosperous way to live. And the message is don't stop there. Don't get stuck there. Because that's as big a trap as there is. It's as big a danger as there is, and that's what he's wanting. Don't get hung up there. Keep on going. Someone wants to take it from you, take everything from you, start all over. We're not here to acquire things. We're not here to amass a fortune. We're here to be godly. And that godliness produces prosperity. That godliness produces health. You don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't stew, you don't worry. Whenever they tell you about health concerns, those are the main things they tell you to quit first. And that's just the natural thing for godliness. Not be all stressed out. Not abusing things in your body. Putting things in there that's going to kill you. That's what the doctors tell you. But you just live godly, and you've already got that big step on them. So there's the foothold for prosperity is just right there. Just doing things God's way. And then Jesus comes along and says, you've been godly. You've done it my way. You've been prosperous. Now let me have it. Follow me. Take up your cross. Someone comes along and wants to take away what you've done and been prosperous for. Let them have it. Take godliness to the cross. Let God take your godliness to the cross. Let Him not let you get trapped in that prosperous level, but to go on. Well, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. Godliness will produce prosperity. That's, if you wanted to have a get rich quick seminar or get rich, get prosperous seminar. Just put in the principles that the Old Testament teaches. It talks all about it. And the men that were in it were prosperous. And it's just being faithful, being diligent, hard work, just not being foolish. You're going to be prosperous. Jesus comes along and says, okay, that's how you do it. Now lay that down. So many times people take these verses and they want to find that as an end to themselves. And it's just like our souls, our salvation. You do what's right. You put those things into practice. Real practice. You just do what's right. You put others ahead of yourself. Quit worrying about you being saved. You do what's right. Quit worrying about whether you're going to have five-decker crown in heaven. And you do what's right. God is good. He will prosper and He will bless. But to be concerned about what I'm going to get out of it is man's interest and not God's. And that's the whole heart of these people just running around wanting to have this assurance to know that they are right with God. They're seeking their own interest instead of God's interest. Lay all of that down too. The same principles apply. Be diligent. Work hard. Be faithful. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'll guarantee you, God will prosper your soul just like He does in the physical realm whenever we put His principles first and lay all of ours down. It's not my guarantee that means anything. I'm just saying this is God's method. This is the way God operates. This is the way God has created things. Some people get all caught up in doctrines and theologies. God made us out of dirt. He created us out of dirt. And when you get above that, you're out of your realm. Simple. Hard work. Sweat. In the physical, simple. Hard work. Sweat. In the spiritual, lose yourself and follow Jesus. Take up your cross and follow Him. Whatever He sends your way, bow your head, put your shoulder to it, and bless the Lord for it. Whatever He allows taken away, bow your head, put your shoulder to it, and bless the Lord for it. If he takes away prosperity, if He takes away health, if He takes away it all, that's not where our trust is. Our trust is in Him. He takes away your assurance. He takes away everything you have. Trust in Him. Following the Lord. That's His pattern. Like I said, people get so caught up, so worried about theology, and so worried about all these things that are way above them. Way above them. People can explain things all day long, but I'd rather have someone that could just go out and do something. And maybe not even tell you what or how they're doing it, than someone that explain it that can't do it. I told the story before about, I used to know a man that milked cows. He milked cows till he went broke, but he had gone to college. And so after he went broke milking cows, he got a job with the county extension agency teaching other people how to milk cows. He went broke doing it, but he had a college degree. And so he could fall back on his college degree and teach other people how to milk cows. He couldn't do it himself. He went broke doing it. And he just went, oh well, I'll just fall back on being a teacher. And that's what most teachers are. People who can't do what they're trying to teach others how to do. And that doesn't produce anything but a mess. Doing things God's way is doing them. And not worrying about teaching them and explaining them. You do it. And the Lord, that is blessings. Father, we thank you again for your goodness and mercy. Help us to do your will and bring glory to you. Lord, we just help us to be faithful, be simple, to be like Jesus. Again, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.